All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship, our community outreach. We are in a new series starting today called How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. And today's message is Introduction. It is July 25, 2021, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. All right. So we're going to have a little introduction talk, and then we'll pray. To live in the kingdom of God, we must see the kingdom, be born again as born out of God ones, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God from the time Adam sinned and plunged humanity into the estate of sin and misery, and turn in repentance and faith to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We enter the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ to live the life of radical obedience, personal, perfect, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. He died to pay the penalty for sin, which penalty is death, and was buried. God the Father accepted Jesus' offering of himself as the voluntary atoning sacrifice in our place as our substitute. Death could not hold Jesus. He was raised from the dead the third day and ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with all governing power over a kingdom that cannot be shaken and which endures forever. As we ask Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and repent, Jesus comes into our hearts by virtue of the new covenant in his blood. The blood covenant, the covenant of grace, cannot be broken. The Holy Spirit is the life maker, the life producer. The Holy Spirit works in the true believers such that we become what God has declared us to be. Christ is our righteousness. Entering the kingdom of God means new rules, a new dominion, and living life a new and better way under the control of the Holy Spirit. Unless we are born again, we have not yet entered the kingdom of God. From John 3, verse 5, Jesus said to seek the kingdom of God and that it was his Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The Holy Spirit will be our teacher, our comforter, and our help to enable us to survive in the kingdom of God. In this series, we will learn the laws and precepts of the kingdom of God, those laws that operate much like the laws of thermodynamics in the physical realm. We learn that what goes up must come down. Matter can neither be created nor destroyed. That's the law of conservation of mass, the last one there. There may be physical change, and a substance, physical properties may change, but its chemical makeup does not. And this is a quote from Wikipedia. The second law of thermodynamics says that when energy changes from one form to another form, or matter moves freely, entropy or disorder in a closed system increases. Differences in temperature, pressure, and density tend to even out horizontally after a while, unquote. So these laws of the kingdom of God, however, are spiritual laws. They operate in the invisible realm and are just as certain. And now we want to pray. And we're going to lift this up.
We lift this up to you, Lord, Psalm 145, 1 through 9. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
All right. And we thank you, Lord God, once again for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. We ask that your Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, that you would reveal Jesus Christ to us and wisdom and give us with wisdom. And Lord God, we thank you and we give you the praise. Open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, understand, and perceive. Open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we begin this new series, I want us to consider potential and purpose. Potential is determined by purpose, the ends for which the means exist. So let's think a little bit about the seed principle. The seed of something grows into what it has been designed to be, whether corn or wheat or a dog or a cat or a tree or a person. The seed is the means for a certain end, a certain result. So in the Christian life, we are working out what God has worked in. As within, so without is one of the precepts or laws of the kingdom of God. Likewise, source determines the seed. Source determines the function, the reason something exists. Source determines resource and potential. What can we do? And what might be and become? What might we be and become? From the Word of God, we discover that the one true and living God is the source. In the beginning, God. God is the source and sustainer of all life and blessing. So we look to God, the source, to find out why we are here and what we were created to be and to become. What is the reason for our existence and what resources do we have? What are we able to do? What potential do we have? Why then is work a blessing? Work is not just labor in a job. Work is what we can do, what we are able to do. Work is a necessary part of life. We are to be useful. God rested. He did not retire. Adam was given a mandate, things to do. Jesus Christ said that his food was to do the will of his Father and to finish his work. He said that he was working and his Father was working right up to the present moment. Work is about all of our labor, and whatever we do, we are to do it to the glory of God and his name. The motto of Mary Craig Ministries is that whatever we do, we are to do it, quote, in his name, by his grace, for his glory, unquote. So how do we find our potential and our purpose? We look to the Word of God. We are to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, pray the Word of God back to God, that he might perform all that he has said in his Word. For example, lift the promises of God back to him, that he might perform them in our lives. Believe the word. Say the word. Let the word of God be out of your mouth. Come into agreement with it. Think the word. We need to correct our thought life and keep conforming to the image of Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. Obey the word. Believe Jesus and believe what Jesus believes. We believe and then we conceive in our minds thoughts. And then those thoughts become seed thoughts that we release. Think of faith as the energy, the catalyst of tomorrow or even the next moment. So why are we here? As those created in the image of God, we are to reflect the nature of our Creator. We owe our Creator obedience on the basis of the Creator/creature relationship alone. We were designed to reflect the beauty of the Lord, to look lovely and be lovely, to reflect the moral goodness and holiness of our Creator. So we talk about the beauty of holiness where God is concerned. But God is what? The word cosmos in Greek is the word behind cosmetics. And it's the idea, there's the idea of putting things in order. God is a God of order and not of confusion. And putting things in order, it also has to do with arrangement or arranging things. And so God likes order, and even the universe, there's an order in the way God has created the universe. And so everything has its place. The definition of dirt is matter out of place. That's the definition of dirt. Matter out of place. How about that? You don't belong there. So, anyway, you can think that one through. Okay. So, the beauty. Sometimes we need to think about the beauty of God's good creation. Pretty much people have wrecked the beauty of the creation. Many stories about that. But anyway, you can think about that. So we are to look lovely and to be lovely. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's going to be really beautiful, but I know my mother used to go around and say, oh, she had to go in and she would put makeup on because she had to, quote, put on her face, like she put it on, you know, with the makeup. But it also said cosmetics help us to arrange our face so that we look nice, you know, we look better, not to overdo it, because then, what, we kind of look like a clown, actually, looks when they put all this stuff on, right? That's kind of a perversion of the idea. So God is a spirit, eternal, infinite, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, mercy, and truth. God is being. That means that he is self-existent, self-sustaining, complete within himself. He touches our being. He does not change, but he changes us. So we are becoming. God is being. He doesn't change. He touches us, we are becoming, because we can change. Now, there's a lot of hope in that. We can change. And so that happens to us as we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8, verse 11, 18 to 25, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. We were created to enjoy fellowship with God, a relationship. We were created to enjoy God forever and to glorify him. We were created for communion with God, a vital spiritual union. Therefore, we are to seek him with all of our being in order that we might come into our full potential. We are to know God's word and his ways. Now, this is called the creation mandate. Some people today call it a cultural mandate, but it happened at the time of creation in Genesis 1, verse 28. Then God blessed them. He's talking about Adam and Eve. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis 1, verse 28. Okay, so we're going to spend a little time looking at that. Number one, be fruitful and multiply. We are to bear fruit, fruit that remains. Now, Jesus brings us back to this in John chapter 15. Jesus said that he is the vine and we are the branches. We were designed to be connected to the source of life. We have the potential of bearing fruit. And the question has been, Old Testament to New Testament, who will bear the fruit of righteousness in the kingdom of God? Now, when we get what we call saved, there's a little exchange going on there so that we, Christ's righteousness is laid to our account, and it goes on us like a garment of righteousness. And then our sin, including Adam's sin, what we call the original sin, goes on Christ. He paid for that. He paid the penalty for that sin and for iniquity and everything else. Who will bear the fruit of righteousness in the kingdom of God? And that is our purpose. Likewise, we are to be nurtured and growing by the word of God. Jesus said that his words are life to us. They are spirit and they are life. The word is truth. It sanctifies. So we not only feed our physical bodies, but also our soul spiritually. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. It's the spirit, God's spirit, giving life to our spirit, my spirit, and giving life to us. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. We are to multiply and to fill the earth. We have a task to do. This is work, and every single person has his and her part in the grand design of God. God is the center of man's ideal in ideal environment. Humankind was made in the image of God, in his likeness. We are to follow God's example, as in Genesis 2, verses 4 to 25, as vice regents or stewards of the earth. That's how we are to live. And I will say this, in addition, that going back to Plato and the philosophers, right? They came up with the conclusion that man is the center of everything. Man is at the center. But the Bible doesn't teach that. God is at the center. God is at the center. And God is at the center of man's ideal environment. All right, number two, fill the earth and subdue it. We were created to fill the earth, to fill it with people and animals. Today, some use the word replenish. You'll see that in some translations. But replenish implies filling again. But not back in 1611 when the King James Bible translation came out. The English, it's in English. So two people in a garden were to fill the earth by multiplying and by subduing. And it's not a filling again. It's kind of like filling up, that idea. And we certainly have been doing that. I don't know how many billion people there are on the earth right now. Anyways, probably at least 4 billion, right? 8 maybe. Who knows? You can look it up. All right. Number three, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We were not created to abuse things. Abuse. Think of, break down abuse. Abuse. Abuse is abnormal use. Abuse, abnormal use. Dominion is not domination. It is about being caregivers, caretakers, taking care of God's good creation. Dominion is not self-seeking, selfish ambition, cruelty, disregard for life. Dominion, is putting things in order, if anything. You put things in order in a God-honoring way, something that reflects the goodness of God, the beauty, the holiness, and truth. Abuse is not using something as originally designed. That is to be out of order. So I'll give you an example. Forcing something, even a plant or a tree or a bird, to do or be what it was not designed by God to do or be is abuse. An example of such abuse would be making what was designed to be a tree to stay small and not fulfill its God-given purpose. Or forcing a bird to live alone in a cage when it was designed to have a mate and very unhappy in that cage because it was not designed to be alone. Domination forces the bird to be alone in the cage. That was not the way God designed. There are birds that, some birds might be okay, one in a cage, but there are birds that are designed by God not to be alone. Okay? Dominion is not tyranny. So we go back to the Word of God to consider what the original design of God for this and that was. We are not to manipulate and force what God forbids. So we are not to rule with tyranny and exploitation. And we bless other people, for though all have sinned, all people are created in the likeness of God. And you can look that up in James 3, verse 9. Now, humans were different. All the animals came, and there was not found a suitable helper or helpmate for Adam. So Eve was taken from Adam and became a suitable helpmate for Adam. So humanity is in a category like all by itself, humankind. We even talk about humankind. And we're not to mix it up, folks. They're trying to do that now. No, that was not God's original design. Human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. They are the God kind ones. Adam's sin marred the image of God and greatly defaced God's image in us. Only by God's grace in Jesus Christ is that image renewed from Ephesians 6, verse 9 and Colossians 4, verse 1. The true believer lives by grace, looking forward to a complete restoration and forever living in the presence of the living God, clothed with his glory. Revelation chapters 21 and 22. So in closing, let's remember some things. We cannot always change circumstances, but circumstances do not render the Word of God powerless. Circumstances can change. People can change. Even while going through bad circumstances, God often comes in to change our attitude so that we can cope. He can change our attitude in us. He can change the circumstance. People have the potential for change inasmuch as God has designed us for a certain purpose. Prayer changes things. One day we came into a seminary class, and that was the topic for that class. Prayer changes things. And it was like, what things? No, get it. Prayer changes things. Well, what constitutes a thing? What? Anything? Everything? Think about it. Okay. When we start praying those scriptures that reveal the purposes of God, the will of God, then circumstances will change. We will change, and the circumstance will start to change. What manifests physically is moved by what happens spiritually. Let's remember, we are to worship. We were designed to worship the Creator and serve Him. Satan wants people to worship him, the devil, and to serve him. Satan invades church cultures to lead people away from the worship of the true God by means of perversion, changing the focus to pleasing people and entertaining them instead of recognizing that God is our audience. And worship teams are to bring people into the worship of God in spirit and in truth. Satan loves the darkness and the light of candles instead of light and the light of oil lamps. They didn't have candles back then. They had oil lamps for a reason. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Satan comes with a counterfeit Holy Spirit, another gospel, an antichrist spirit, another wisdom that is earthy, sensual, and demonic. And that was the point in the garden. This devil came along, hath God said, doubt comes in, drifting, doubting, and then, did he? No, well, he said this, trying to defend God who does not need any defense, doesn't have to defend himself. And then the covenant was made with Adam, and Adam listened to another wisdom, and that made him commit cosmic treason. He listened to another wisdom, to another word, and so at that point, he disbelieves what God had said. He didn't accept it. When God says it, it's true, it's right, it's the way it should be, the ordered way. And so in with Adam's sin comes disorder, degeneration, and sin, missing the mark, etc. Okay, so Satan comes with that counterfeit Holy Spirit and with another wisdom, earthy, sensual, and demonic. Revelation 21, verse 23, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Revelation 21, 23. Its lamp is the Lamb. We are to be grateful, thankful, humble, yet boldly approaching the throne of grace. We are to see the opportunity in our lack and our weakness and seek God's favor and grace and to obtain mercy. We are to meditate on God, on the solution, and not on the problem. In other words, be solution-oriented, not problem-oriented. That is a big thing in counseling. Now, counselors may want people to come back because they're paid quite a bit of money to listen and all of that. But God will give solutions. He will give strategies. He will give guidance. And his desire is to, if we get off track, is to get us back on track, to bring order out of the confusion, to bring order out of chaos, which is disorder. Okay, God wants things for our bless to bless us. God always wants to bless us. We just need to be in a position where He can bless us. Okay, so we are to meditate on God, on the solution, and does that mean we can never bring our problems to God? No, God already knows our problems, but we can bring them to God. Sometimes it's called getting the poison out, I call it. You know, it has to get out of our system. But we want to watch our attitude when we make our appeals to God. Remember that he's holy and he's sovereign. And he's not some magic wand. And so he knows the problem. Be solution oriented. Look to God to give you the solution. It's out there. We may not always, we need to believe it. It can be something really strange. Like I was sick one time. This is really outrageous, but I was sick one time and the Lord told me to, because this makes no sense, drink orange juice for 7 days and I will heal you. Now, that sounded easy enough. Drink orange juice for 7 days and I will heal you. And it was in my mind loud and clear. Drink orange juice. Now, that was for me. It's not like drink orange juice for 7 days for everybody. Okay, it seems simple. But I know from the Lord, sometimes when he gives a command and you obey it, you look at the healing passages in the scripture, there was a command. And that commandment was life. And he didn't say how much orange juice, so I went, yay. He didn't say how much. He didn't say what kind of orange juice, strain, not strain. You know, there are all these different kinds. It was just simply, or only, or yes, oh, yes, because it said only orange juice. And it could have gotten very particular. That would have been much more difficult. No. But do you know, even with that, it was hard to pull off because the devil didn't want it. The devil is an enemy. And I ended up having, and every time you miss it and you didn't do it, you have to start over. So I would start over. And then I thought, I've got to pull this off. So that meant I did have to keep track. I drank the orange juice today or checked it off on a calendar. And if I missed one day on the calendar, even, you know, and wasn't sure, if I wasn't absolutely sure that I drank orange juice for 7 days, I'd start over. But I finally pulled off that very simple obedience, and God healed me. That was it. What was he teaching me? He was teaching me he has a solution. At first I was like, this makes no sense. That wasn't the point. It was something I could do. It was something that didn't harm me. It wasn't going to harm me, right? God does no harm. God's love does no harm. And it wasn't going to harm me. It was something that was doable. And, you know, it was simple, a simple instruction. And it was to teach me obedience. And don't start arguing with God over the assignment. And so that was that. So I've learned different things on the way for years of spiritual warfare. So we can learn to be proactive, focusing on our response to the holiness and the sovereignty of God. Responsibility is the ability. Let's break it down. Responsibility. Responsibility is the ability to respond. Excuse me, that was just going to get this out. Responsibility is the ability to respond in a God-honoring way. In Christ, we have that ability to respond in a God-honoring way. Jesus Christ should be in our minds and on our hearts, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We focus on what is in God's heart and mind that we might obey him by grace through faith which works by love. We are to be life givers. Let's remember this as the last one. We are to be life givers, speaking life to others, witnessing to life in the kingdom of God. Amen. And we have a short prayer here. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord. So we ask, Lord, that you would turn our cosmic treason into supreme loyalty and attachment to Jesus Christ. We ask you as we close to stir us up to love and good works. We bless your holy name. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.